Praise the Lord. We've been talking a lot about going to the next level, about getting to the next level. Today's message is entitled Rising to the Next Level. And we're going to do it in two sections. In the first section, we're going to have communion together. And I wanted to just have this moment. I have a scripture. Go ahead, put that up. It says, when the hour had come, he sat and the 12 apostles with him. And this is what he said. Listen to these words. I like this out of the New King James because it says, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. With fervent desire, I have desired. Jesus is looking forward to being with him. Then he says, because I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks. He said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to them. Everybody knows this. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. With fervent desire, the Lord put in my heart that he has the same fervent desire today as he did then. Yes. That he likes meeting with you at the table. He likes to be with you at the table. A long time ago in the Old Testament, there was this fellow. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. And what happened is the day came, and on the same day, Saul, his grandfather, and Jonathan, his father, were killed on the same day. And there was a lady, a nursemaid, and this little guy was 5 years old. And when they found out it was his father and grandfather had died, she took off running and dropped him. And he became lame in both legs. His name is Mephibosheth. Everybody say, Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth grew up in Lodabar a ways off because he feared for his life. He feared that he would be sought out and killed. Interesting. But later on, David came to desire because he had a covenant with Jonathan. He had this covenant with Jonathan. They were blood brothers. And he said, is there anybody left in the household of David that I can bring help, that I can honor, that I can bless? And they said, well, I think there's Mephibosheth. And they went out, and Mephibosheth was so afraid that they came to kill him. But then they came and they set him. He said, all of the land of your grandfather Saul, we're giving it to you. And we have a place. And at David's table, the king's table, he said, Mephibosheth, you will eat at my table for the rest of your life. Now look at this. Is it true that many people are damaged in childhood? Maybe somebody dropped something that was valuable to you. Maybe they dropped you. Whatever happened, there are many people, and I find it's difficult even today to find somebody that something, some kind of a tragedy didn't happen. That somebody maybe died, or somebody wasn't there, or something happened, and something was robbed, and something was taken away. And you have this sense of love is gone. The sense of what you were about was gone. My daddy, my granddaddy, they're gone. What's going on in my life? and there's losses and there are things that are taken away from us, the beautiful picture that we find with David honoring the covenant is a picture of Jesus who has now come and cut covenant with us. And this is what he says to us. Were you damaged in childhood? Come to my table. I'm Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. I come and I ask you to my table. I'm inviting you to my table. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid that God is going to hurt you. He's inviting you to the table. And you know those things that were taken away from you? God says, I'm going to restore them to you. When you come to the table, just like Mephibosheth, I'm going to give you back what was taken away. I'm going to restore to you what was lost. Jesus restores what was lost when you sit at his table. So I want to invite those that are serving communion to come on up. I want to talk about this covenant that Jesus has is basically an introduction to salvation in Christ. If you do not know his love for you, he wants you to know it. And many folks feel just like something's wrong with them, just like Mephibosheth, just like something went wrong in your life. Everybody has something that's gone wrong somewhere. You might be in the middle of a situation right now that things are mangled up. And the Lord says, come to the table. I'm inviting you to the table. And says, at the table, here's what you're going to find. This is the most amazing declaration on the planet because it's the essence of the gospel. Jesus Christ gave his personal life for you. Jesus Christ gave his personal life for you. If you want to know how valuable you are, you look at how valuable you are through the price that was paid for you. Jesus Christ gave himself for you and me. But here's the other kicker. I love this part. The bread as being the covenant. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the bread of life, right? There's something about the nourishment that we bring, that we capture spiritually when we are in his presence and we eat of who he is. But there's something even deeper than that that I understand of. He gave us his nature. And when you open your heart to him and receive him as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and comes into your spirit and you become alive. And you become alive on the inside. And the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. And if you do not know him right now, you can receive him right now. When you take the bread, you say, I receive you, Jesus, and you can be born again right now. Yes. Isn't that powerful? Let's praise him just for a minute. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll get into this more later, but most of the things that have happened to you have come to be stolen from you, to be taken from you. And the Lord says, I'm inviting you to my table to restore something that was taken away. You know, many, many times when I'm standing here, I suddenly see something. And I just saw somebody get extremely angry. I don't know who you are, but you just went off. And you got really, really mad. And you weren't yourself. And you became very violent in your words. Maybe several of us have done that not too long ago. But this coming off, flying off the handle, being extremely upset, the Lord wants to restore to you the peace that you lost when that occurred. He wants to reinstate the peace that was stolen in that outburst. Because he says, that's your old nature. I'm giving you my new nature. Let's go ahead and lift it up before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just say these words with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I receive what you've given. I receive your love. I receive your body, and I receive the restoration that you released to my life. All the devil has stolen, in the name of Jesus. Let's praise him, man. Let's praise him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is here to restore to you. The Lord is here to restore to you. Just like Mephibosheth, he's saying, I brought you to my table to give you something that was taken away. I'm restoring something to you. So go ahead, let whatever that is, let the faith come back in your heart. As we partake of this bread in a minute, let the faith come back in your heart and say, that's not taken away from me forever. The Lord is restoring. Praise the Lord. The Lord is restoring me. Now let's partake. Say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I partake of your life. Let's go ahead. Let's partake together. We're going to receive the cup next, as Jesus instructed. He said, do this in remembrance of me as often as you will. The Lord is going to heal people today and take away the loss of regrets that we've had. He's put it on our hearts. It says, to rise to the next level, I want to heal from past regret. Praise the Lord. I bet it was really unnerving for Mephibosheth to have David come to his house and feel like he was going to die. And then to find out he wasn't going to die, but he was going to be blessed. There's something wrapped up in that. There's something wrapped up in that some of you have felt like, what's the use of living? Why should I even try anymore? God's against me. Everything's going wrong. I feel like giving up. And just like King David knocked on Mephibosheth's door, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. He's saying, I'm coming in to have communion with you, and I'm going to restore what was stolen. This is important on the Lord's heart. He said, with fervent desire, I have desired to meet with you before I suffer. And this is what I want to do for you. I want to declare what I'm going to accomplish for you when I suffer. I'm going to take the loss on my back, and I'm going to take it to the cross and break the power of that loss over your life. I'm going to take your failure and your sin and your missteps and all the things that you've done wrong. I'm putting them on my back, and I'm carrying them to the cross, and I'm breaking the power of them to rule over your life. Amen. Let faith rise in your heart, church. We do dumb stuff. I feel like I'm the king of dumb stuff. How many of you feel that sometimes? Now, this is amazing. We're coming to the cup. Jesus said, take the cup. This is the blood of the new covenant. Everybody needs forgiveness, and everybody needs to forgive. Everybody needs forgiveness, and everybody needs this forgiveness flowing through them. And you would forgive in the same way and like manner that Jesus has forgiven you completely. You forgive others completely the way that Jesus has forgiven you. If you want to be a free person, you learn to forgive completely the way Jesus has completely forgiven you. Amen. Jesus is not hanging on to stuff. You know that thing you did? I'm struggling with forgiving that. You know, you did it before and you said you wouldn't do it again. But now you've done it again, and I'm just reconsidering this whole shed blood thing. Because it looks like you just take advantage of me all the time. No, he doesn't talk like that. He says, come here, honey. You blew it again, didn't you? You know what you need? You need more grace. You still think your life depends on you having to live it with everything that's in you, but your life is not based on living it with everything that's in you. Your life is based on living it with everything that's in me. So go ahead and surrender. Hand me the keys to your car. Hand me the keys to your home. Hand me the keys to your heart. Hand me the keys to your relationships. Hand me the keys to everything in your life. Let me be in charge. Let's praise him, guys. The spirit of liberty, the spirit of forgiveness is in the room. Thank you, Jesus, for the anointing to bring grace. To bring grace. There are those of us here today that still wrestle with forgiving ourselves. And in the most holy and loving way, I like to say, how dare you? What do you think, Jesus is little? You got a puny Jesus? You got a Jesus so small that he's not big enough to forgive all of your sins? That he can't even get you to forgive yourself? What's up with that? Are you nuts? You stay bound when you hold things against yourself. You don't even need the devil to lock you in prison. You've already done it and thrown away your own key. But Jesus is dangling the keys in front of you today. He's saying, if I've forgiven you, you can forgive you. But I don't feel like I can deserve that. No, you don't deserve it. If you deserve it, you die for your own sins. But it's all about me dying for your sins because you don't deserve it. That's what grace is. That was mercy's based on. This is mercy. Oh, come on, somebody praise the Lord. The help is in the cup. The help is in the blood of Jesus Christ. When we sing, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, it's broken because of this blood. Demons tremble at the blood of Jesus. They tremble. It unnerves them because it's the very life of God. This represents the life of God. And the devil doesn't represent anything but death. And when death stands up in front of the life of God, it just backs off. It doesn't know what to do with it. The blood speaks and says, how dare you pick on this one? You see the blood and it's like, oh my God. The blood has power. The blood heals. The blood sets free. The blood erases the graffiti of the bad things you've said about yourself. And I want to just recommend to somebody that this is the greatest mouthwash for all the negative speech that you could ever have. The blood of Jesus cleansing your tongue from all the negative things that you say. You need to, let's go ahead and repent for negative stuff. Just tell the Lord, I'm sorry for speaking bad things. I'm sorry. Wash my tongue. Wash my mouth out with the blood. Cleanse my mouth. Because your life will only go as far as the negative words you speak or positive words you speak. It controls where you go. It controls the forward motion. You can stay stuck forever just having a bad mouth. You don't want to curse yourself anymore. Jesus hung on the tree. It became a curse for us to break every curse over our life. And if you stay in this body life, the curses will be broken and you will be liberated. And it starts with this kind of thing right here. Let's praise him right now. Let's praise him. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for forgiveness, for everything. Thank you for the power to forgive myself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let's partake together. Now just lift him to the Lord and just say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I receive your forgiveness and I receive the power to forgive. I receive the grace to live in. I receive it now. I receive the lifting of burden. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. I receive your healing grace in my heart. I receive it now. Praise you, Lord. You're Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and tell somebody next to you, you look nicer than you did a few minutes ago. Go ahead. Yeah. You look a lot nicer. Hallelujah. Turn to the person next to you and say, get ready. Go ahead, get ready. We're not done. Go ahead and tell somebody. Well, go ahead and say, I'm rising up to my next level in Christ. I'm rising up. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Anytime you're moving to another place in the Lord, Jesus comes in by the Holy Spirit. He takes your hand and he develops it. He moves you from the beginning all the way to the end. So you're never outside of the complete work of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you happy about that? Amen. You're not left on your own to try to figure it out. You always have the helper, the one that the school teacher. The gospel of Jesus Christ, though, in essence, is a great eternal love story that is taking place in the middle of a war zone. Have you figured that out yet? The gospel of Jesus Christ, in essence, is this love story God has, and you're his bride. You're the love of his heart, and yet you find out there are grenades going on off all around you and bombs blowing up and everything. And anybody ever figured that out, that there's an unseen war going on, an invisible warfare that's all around, and it messes with you? But he started this love thing. He started this love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. And God started off with this whole thing where he created man in his image in the garden. And then he took this guy and he says, go label all the animals. And he names all the animals and he finds out all the animals have a mate. I don't have a mate. And God says, I did that to create a desire in you. And he had laid him down there and he put him in a deep sleep and did surgery, pulled a rib out and he created a woman out of there. And now he woke up and he said, whoa, man. So that's where woman comes from. And it's about a great love. Then here's what happened though. What really in essence happened is this. God says, everything's yours except one thing. All the goodness of God, just one thing. Just one thing. And the devil comes up and says, he's holding out on you. And the great disconnect. And the devil comes to you and says, God's holding out on you. And somehow, as fallen human beings, we have this thing about we don't see all the goodness of God. People still don't see the goodness of God. They're blind. There's a veil over their eyes. They don't see it now. They don't have a sense of it. They're disconnected. Because the devil comes and he says, look, I want you. Everybody say disconnected. Ephesians 2. And you were dead in trespasses and sins. This is called disconnected. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked following the course of the world. Is anybody relating? Okay. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. This is one of the most clarifying statements of where we come from. Yep. Being disconnected from the Lord. And you know what happens with people that end up in that condition? When you are dead in your sins, you do things that you regret. You carry around, you make mistakes, you're influenced by things of the world, you're influenced by the things of the devil. You just do disobedience because you think, oh, I'm going to get away with it, and you never get away with it. And whatever you trafficked in, traffics with you. And those bad experiences just seem to hang on. And they cluster up around your heart, and they cluster up around your mind, and they just have a way of pulling you down, and they go with you. And your things, one door you say, oh, no big deal, I'll just go do this, and now you got something in your life, and you can't shake it. Because hell got a hold, and got a foothold, and got something going on, and you want to, and there's a regret. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have done this. I wish I wouldn't have done that. What is a regret? A regret is a sense of loss, disappointment. A feeling of sorrow or remorse for a fault, an act, or a loss. And when people are loaded down with that, they make decisions. I have a verse here from Jeremiah 2:13. It says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Have you ever felt like, no, I can't get ahead? How many of you feel like a leaky bucket? You're trying to go get something from some other stash, some other thing, some other way other than God, some other means other than him. And you turn to that. The Bible says in another way, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We go looking for something, and in the midst of that looking, we end up regretting. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. What do you do with, I wish I wouldn't have done that? Where do you take the, I wish I wouldn't have done those? Where does that go? How do we get from the regret of loss to regaining what was lost? And I believe the very first thing you have to understand is God's heart for us. Tell somebody next to you, I want to know God's heart for me. So we're going to go on just a little journey, not very long. This is actually a very quick message, I think. How many of you have a desire for the Lord to speak to your heart right now? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's put this up. Genesis 29, verse 31 says, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. I'm here to tell you today that the Lord sees and has seen every place in your life where you were unloved. Where you had an expectation to be loved and it didn't happen. And sadness filled your heart. The Lord sees where you're unloved. The Lord takes notice of the one who isn't loved. The Lord takes up the cause of the one who doesn't know love. The Lord is for the one. It says, if you're not going to get the love, I'm going to bring you the love. I'm going to open up your womb, Leah. I'm going to open it up for you. And Rachel was barren, and God says, I'm going to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Let's praise the Lord. Because to get rid of the regrets, you got to know that there's one who loves you and sees and cares and desires to help you when you have gone through a desert of not being loved. Let's worship the Lord right now. Let's open up to his love, because the Lord just showed me this. You'll see later. The more his love enters in, the more the power to heal regrets. It just flows out. He wants to heal regrets today. He wants to take away losses and things that you regret having done and feelings and attitudes that you've had. He wants to wash it all away. He's going to take it away. His love is going to overpower it, because he loves you and he sees when you're unloved. He sees the depth of loneliness. He sees the rejections. He sees those things. When you're despised or put out, he relates. He can understand all that. And Leah, she conceives and she bears a son. She calls his name Reuben. You know what Reuben means? It means looked. It basically says, see a son. And she's still wanting, she hears God blessing her because he sees, and she has a baby and she says, look, a son. And she's trying to show, look, look. The Lord looked upon me in my affliction and he gave me a son. And that wasn't enough for Leah. And then he gave her another son, and she named him Simeon. He heard my cry. Simeon means heard. He heard that I'm unloved. He heard that I'm unloved. She's naming the babies. And then she has a third one, Levi. Levi means attached. And she says, surely my husband will be attached to me now. And it wasn't until Judah that something seemed to reconcile in her heart. Because Judah means praise. And she stood back and says, I just praise the Lord now. See, the Lord sees where you're unloved. He says, I'm going to give ahead and show you that it's my love for you that's going to heal the unloveliness that's going on inside of you. I'm going to give to you those things that you haven't been able to have on your own, and I'm going to give it to you. How many of you know that? That the Lord is the lover of your soul. You may have disqualified yourself because you were unloved and you considered that you would always be unloved. But the Lord is saying, I'm here to qualify you. Because you're the apple of my eye. You're the treasure of my heart. That's who you truly are. He sees you when you're unloved, and he opens up things to you because he cares deeply about you. Let's go to the next verse, Isaiah 49:15. This is the most unusual verse in the Bible. I can't even believe it, but I can believe it. Isn't this amazing? It says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? But look what the Lord says. Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I will not forget you. If the woman who conceived and bore you forget you, I didn't forget you. The Bible actually teaches that he's the father of all spirits. In fact, it doesn't matter who your mom or dad were. When the sperm and egg came together, that was God's moment. He was rejoicing. There's my baby. There's my baby. There's my baby.
There's my baby. I made me another eternal spirit. A son or a daughter is going to rise up and walk with me and know me and come out of all the pain and stuff. Now, my problem wasn't with my mother. My problem was with my dad. But everybody has their own thing of pain. Everybody has their own lacks and issues. There's a forgotten place where you feel forsaken. And Jesus, even though he had a good mommy and daddy, Jesus can relate to the concept of being full of pain and personal pain. The Bible actually says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Could you imagine that? He created the people of God. He comes down and this is the chosen people. He raised them up. He comes to his own people and they all reject him. Jesus knows rejection. He understands the feeling of rejection. He understands the forsakenness. He understands being forgotten. He understands that people don't. If you have ever felt misunderstood, Jesus is in your turf. In Isaiah 53:5, it says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We don't always talk about Jesus this way, but this is who Jesus is. Here he is carrying the cross and people are spitting on him. Here he is doing the thing that's going to actually liberate your soul and everybody's beating on him and pulling his beard out and doing all this stuff. And here he's going through a crucifixion and he's being despised and being rejected. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised and we did not esteem him. And this is that came from man. And everybody's had some kind of loss with men, right? Is that right? But it goes further. Look at what Jesus says. Look next. He's on the cross, Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever felt that? I still know people that feel like when things aren't going their way, they feel like God's forsaken them. They don't see it as a trial to grow up. How many of you know that there will be tests? And God's not against you. In fact, Jesus is the one who goes through it with you. Get your theology right. Jesus actually carry you through the fire. He'll carry you through the water. He'll establish your steps. And when you get to that place, you'll have less of what that old nature would do to you and more of a new nature developed within you. You learn what real love is and you know how he's going to take you from one place to the next, from glory to glory. How many of you really want to rise up to the next level in your life? The Lord's saying, you got regrets are not going with you. I'm going to go, regret's going to stay. I'm moving forward, and what held me back in shame is not going. That's right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When Heather and I got married, she had a past, and I had a past. And God cleansed us of our past so we could be together. Both of us have regrets. Both of us found out that the Lord Jesus needs to be in the middle of the relationship for it to work. That we need to have him in the midst of it. Isn't that right, honey? And you know, I really like you. And we hit it off. We're so different, and it's so unusual how different we are. It's like, it's a miracle that we're together. But it's a nice one, isn't it? Like oil and water. Oil and vinegar. I'm not the vinegar. No, I am the vinegar. Okay. How in the world do you get rid of regrets? Because there is, and the Lord just puts these things on my heart. He says, well, here's how you're going to do it with your group, you know, with your people here. You're going to do it by bringing up how somebody else did it. Do you know there's a lady, she doesn't have a name in the Bible, but she's it says, now a woman, there was this group of multitude around this Jesus and everybody was pressing in and it says, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years. Everybody say, sick for 12 years. Sick for 12 years. Who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And while all denied it, Peter says, "Master, the multitude's throng and pressed by." And you say, "Who touched me?" He says, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." And now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she was trembling and falling down before him, and she declared in his presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed. And here I am at this moment here, and I'm saying, what is the Lord saying to us? He's saying, I want you, this is first of all, understand the Lord loves you. And secondly, how do you get from the regret of loss to gaining what was lost? We seek him with all of our heart. Tell somebody next to you, I'm going to seek Jesus like I've never sought him before. There's something dynamic about coming to him. When you pressing through, say, if I just touch him. Watch this. If I just touch him, regrets go. If I just reach and touch him, regrets go. It's amazing. What filled up your heart? The fumblings and stumblings and the things that you did. What does Jesus want to do? I want to take away 12 years of regrets. I want to take away 30 years of regrets. I want to take away all the regrets of your past. I want to take it away. And you get a hold of him, it just comes out of him, and poof, he's gone. Does anybody want what I'm talking about today? Because we're going to have a time of just seeking the Lord here. We're going to just have a time. I'm going to go ahead and have the musicians go up. We're going to have a time of just seeking the Lord. And you come up and you lift up your hands and their ministry team here. And wow, the Lord's just going to release it. Okay, guys, I'm telling you, there are things that are just going to go that you've been concerned about in your life. Mistakes, mishaps, things that you regret, the sense of losses, regrets, just regrets. The Lord's, he put it on my heart, says, I'm going to release regrets from people's souls today. Your part is to say, Jesus, touch me. Jesus, touch me. That's your part. Come through like the lady with the issue of blood. Come through. Say, I got to have him. Stir up your heart right now. I need him. I need him. Go ahead and do that. I need him. Let's praise him right now. Praise him. I need him. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Let's put up the next verse. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. Get this. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I will show you things that you don't know. Some of you are trapped and you're going, I've messed up so many times. I'm so sick of what I've done. Oh my God. And Jesus says, zap. And you say, I don't want to do it anymore. What happened? He destroyed the whole of the regret. He took it away. Whatever's been eating with you, whatever's dried you up, whatever's made you where you just can't get there. He says, I'm going to show you things you never imagined. I'm going to show you why I made you in the first place. I'm going to release you into things that I called you to be. Listen, the Lord is speaking. Put up the next verse. Look at verse 66, Psalm 66, 12. It says, you let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet, everybody say this. Read it with me. You have brought us out to a place of abundance. You have brought us out to a place of abundance. The Lord is saying, it doesn't matter about the fire. It doesn't matter about the water. Where I'm bringing you is to a place of abundance. You're going to move from a place of regret to a place of joy, to a place of sadness, to a place of help and happiness in the Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.